Welcome to Digitalization Tech Talk, the podcast that dives deep into the transformative world of technology within the industrial landscape. Today's episode is a special feature on the synergies between artificial intelligence and predictive maintenance, specifically in the process industries. As we embark on this, what you could call a digitalization journey, we'll explore how artificial intelligence is not just reshaping, but also revolutionizing maintenance protocols. In an industry where every second counts, the primary objective of AI is to help predict the unpredictable or what's difficult or time-consuming to predict by humans, and also safeguard against the costly consequences of equipment failure. So there'll be some discussions about algorithms that monitor, analyze, and predict, and how that can be turned into actionable insights. These artificial intelligence systems can work tirelessly behind the scenes to ensure that a facility runs smoothly and with minimal interruptions. And that can be anything from reducing downtime to optimizing performance. And we'll cover that and everything in between and what artificial intelligence can do. I know that's quite the promise, don't you think, Don? Am I flying too high in this episode? And if I am, please help me bring me down to earth.
Wow. Yes, it does sound like an exciting episode. I think these days, everyone is at least a little bit intrigued and maybe even some are in a bit of fear about the power of artificial intelligence. And especially as we go down that path of generative AI that we're all hearing so much about these days. And we're now seeing this capability make its way to the manufacturing environment for use cases such as predictive maintenance. And I think we really offer a great forum to discuss this topic and maybe alleviate some of the fears and provide education on what's a very, very interesting topic.
Yes, I agree. It's definitely a very interesting topic. So with that, let's meet our guest. Today's guest is Alexander Hill. He's co-founder of Sensei Predictive Maintenance and now global head of business development at Siemens, where he uncovers business outcomes and value for industrial customers. I'm very excited to have you on the show, Alex. Welcome.
Thank you for the introduction, Don, Jonas. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm looking forward to discussing this exciting topic with you.
All right. That's good to hear, Alex. So let's get right to it. I want to get our listeners grounded here with the first question. So could you please provide a brief explanation of your understanding of predictive maintenance and how it has evolved over time? I am sure it has been quite the evolution.
It's been a massive evolution that's gone on for millennia, really, if you think about it. The fundamental thing that we need to first accept is that predictive maintenance is not software. It's not just one thing. It's a methodology. It's a collection of processes. And I'd argue that actually that is as old as machinery, as old as the agricultural revolution. You feel something is off when you develop an innate connection or sense to a piece of machinery that you're operating or using very often. And you do something about it before it breaks. And I'd argue that that's been used for forever. You can walk into a factory, or somebody very experienced can walk into a factory and hear something off or put their hand on something and they can feel something. But how can we use AI? How can we use sensing and IoT and all the information we have to make that more efficient, to codify that, to turn that into proper measurable efficiencies? I started my career in aerospace and defense about 15, 20 years ago. And this is an industry that has been very advanced in using predictive maintenance to the point where they can now provide these incredibly complex machines as a service. And so we saw that they learned a lot. They work in a really interesting way in that industry. And there's a lot that other industries can learn from, particularly as people talk about how AI can be applied, how servitization can come into play, and how product can be offered as those services. So our journey in predictive maintenance has really been seeing what's happened in aerospace, what are the issues with that, and how can we start to automate some of those away and make it into a very simple, very efficient thing for all industrial companies to do.
Well, that's interesting, Alex. It's great to hear that there are other industries that have experienced the use of predictive maintenance in the past. I think in the process industries, we tend to think of it as a newer topic. And I think it's because it's only gained traction in recent years. And if you think about the process industries that we're dealing with, and it's a lot of our listeners are coming from, what are some of the typical challenges that you're seeing with the implementation of predictive maintenance these days?
It's a good question, and there are so many challenges. I wish there weren't, but we're still in a very early stage market. Condition monitoring, which is being able to monitor machinery and get some form of output that you can make decisions upon, and that's output on the condition, has been around for a long time. So putting a spanner on something, putting a piece of metal on an engine and listen to it, that's very, very common. The terminology predictive maintenance has only really just gained more and more traction, I'd say, in the last 10 years. And as a result, with the influx of IoT and analytics and cloud computing, everybody looks at predictive maintenance and says, hey, I can do that. That sounds like a really good thing to do. It saves people money. Let's offer it. And so actually, one of the main challenges is differentiation right now. And we advise that any solution must be scalable in terms of you must support the tens of thousands of machines in an enterprise. You must be agnostic. You can't just focus on one vendor. That's not realistic. It must be automated. And if you're pushing the analysis of all of this quite complex data onto humanity, first of all, it's not a very good use of people's time and attention. And secondly, computers are better and cheaper at it. So do that and you can achieve scalability. And really, you need to use AI to learn from not only what the machine is telling you, so what the condition of the machine is, what the condition of your process is, and potentially what you could do about it, but also what your humans are telling you, what the maintenance staff are telling you, what they're doing about it, what they've done previously. So we're currently at this really interesting crossroads of AI and traditional methods that allows everybody to benefit from predictive maintenance, but it is still quite a new, I don't want to say terminology or technology, because it's not. It's quite a new way of thinking about things. And so you have every single tech company saying, hey, we can do predictive maintenance. And the fact is they can on two or three machines. And that's where we really push to differentiate ourselves, that actually good predictive maintenance that puts money back in your pocket, allowing you to spend that on other things that improve your business. Good predictive maintenance has to be done at scale. And you can prove it out on two or three machines, that's fine. But when you take it to 20 or 30 or 300 or 30,000 machines within the same account, you're dealing with massive cultural change issues, massive technology issues, and really quite a lot of data that's very sophisticated. And there's often no way of knowing that you're going to have these scalability issues unless you work with a really trusted partner or you've done it before and you've encountered these problems. And those are our favorite kinds of customers because they've been there, they know it, they know it's tough, but it's really hard finding someone who is reliable in this industry.
We're going to have a brief interruption to mention a webinar that's coming up on July 11th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. It's called Navigating the Digital Workforce, Four Strategies for Success in the Age of Technology. We will have Stephen Moskowitz from Industry Forward and Matthias Oppelt from Siemens talking about how to navigate the workforce of the future. So make sure to take a look at the show notes to find the registration link.
Well, it sounds very promising and a lot of potential out there. If we dig into AI and even generative AI a little bit more, can we talk about the value that that brings to the table?
I'm very happy to talk about the value. And one of the problems we often have, doesn't sound like a problem, is that the value of predictive maintenance is enormous. It should be a no-brainer. And that's how we want to educate the market, to get to the point where a production line running without predictive maintenance would be as crazy as an IT department running without a firewall. That's really how I see it. I see it as essential value. To give an example, we've been working with one of the world's largest automotive manufacturers for about 8 years now, And they've relied on our kind of work for well over 10,000 machines. And in that environment, 1 hour of failure on a single machine can cost them $5 million. And the cost of that just go exponentially upwards. And this is not even in a safety critical industry. So if we can save companies minutes, seconds, hours, and we save these companies that we work with weeks or months of unplanned downtime, the savings for that are absolutely huge. But there is a challenge with that. What I'm talking about, when I'm talking about downtime, I'm talking about cost avoidance. There also needs to be this other component of cost savings. And you'll find that often quite immature organizations in the market will only talk about cost avoidance because they haven't got the experience where a customer says, hey, that's cool. You saved me $30 million last year, but people are always asking for more. What more can I do? And that's where cost savings come in. And those are things like reducing the amount of labor that you're spending on inspecting things or modifying things or repairing things. Increasing the amount of sustainability within your organization. And everyone talks about sustainability and predictive maintenance in terms of energy savings. And that's okay, that's fine. But I think it's a little bit too basic. There's a really good opportunity to reduce things like spare parts inventory by using effective predictive maintenance. Reducing the amount of time that workers will go out to the line or travel to a different site to inspect something. So you have carbon savings there. And all of these things, it can actually be money in the company's pocket. By using predictive maintenance, you can provably reduce the amount of planned maintenance inspections and interruptions that you're performing. That saves money. And that's another great way to prove out the business case for this. Typically, we see people getting a full ROI in less than 6 months. And I'm not sure there are many other kinds of methodologies and technologies and solutions, let's call it that. I'm not sure there are many other solutions that offers that kind of payback. So the problem for us is often not talking about the value or showing it or capturing it. It's often getting people to believe it. It seems like a good deal. It seems too good to be true. I promise you it's not. We spent over a decade working on this and had many failures and difficult moments, but we've actually got a really good methodology now. And this is information that we put out there for free because it's so important for everyone to know because everybody can benefit from this.
Sounds like there is tremendous value. Your ROI example, I think, shows that. But also when you talk about cost avoidance and cost savings, there are so many opportunities to do both, which is really exciting to hear. This is actually something that we also talked about. And I just want to put in the quick plug here for one of our past episodes, in episode 37. Where we also talked about generative AI. So take a look or listen to that episode, I should say, for some additional perspectives on the added value of AI, not so much in the predictive maintenance realm, but for other business use cases as well. So very interesting episodes. Now, going back to this topic, when it comes to the efficiency and success of an predictive maintenance AI-driven type of application, what's necessary to effectively predict equipment failures? And how do you collect this data? I'm just thinking it's got to be massive amounts of data. How do you go about that whole process?
Some great questions there again, Jonas. I'm going to jump on your generative AI point first. Everybody talks about how scalability can be achieved. And the really simple answer is you codify everything in every way, and you try to automate the role of the maintainer. And so we spent a long time doing this, and we recommended to everyone that they do this. And now large language models have come along and enabled us to not just learn from the condition monitoring sensors, but also learn from maintainers and use a large language model to really make that simple. So we use generative AI massively within our own work because it's essentially another team of expert maintainers in the cloud that we can train on our own systems, on the customer systems, and it makes everything so much more effective and the relationship between humanity and AI much more productive. People get worried about AI, and that's reasonable. We talked about AI from day one, and it's never been about replacing the human. It's always been about saying, actually, humans are really good at one thing, or actually for several things. AI is really good at some other things. So let's not try to have humans sitting down analyzing lots of numbers. They're not very good at that. Let's have the computer do that, directing the human, who's really good at solving strange problems, especially in the physical world, to go and use their techniques and knowledge on something that actually matters, that actually deserves it. So for us, with generative AI and just generally the whole approach to AI, it's about allowing people to focus on more interesting things, on things that actually deserve their skills and attention, rather than sensing information. Which brings us to the data point that most condition monitoring data, most of what we're looking at is boring, and most of it is not needed. And that probably sounds quite curious for somebody very heavily involved in data to say, but the fact is that most of the time, machinery runs just fine. You can rely on it. What we're looking for are the fractions of a percentage change in some variables that might indicate that a failure is starting to happen maybe months away. And what we have to do is then try to understand, is this actually important enough to warn a human about? And if not, then we probably don't want to, but we do want to pay attention to it and talk about it in the future. We just want to monitor it. So our decision comes down to, and our AI comes down to, is this all important enough to notify a human or not? And we want to work with as much existing data as possible. There's lots of solutions at the moment, and particularly when we talk about this IoT space, everybody wants to go out and buy sensors because that's super exciting. It's great. You can pick something up. You can feel it. You can play with it. You can say, hey, I'm getting a measurement from this widget. And we really advocate that that's not necessary a lot of the time. In the last 10, 20 years, there's been such a revolution in industrial automation. And the controllers and the computers and the logic systems behind that actually capture so much really, really good information that we can use that for condition monitoring purposes to drive predictive maintenance. So what I mean by that is some process parameters, no matter the industry, captured on a PLC, like timing or current or torque or temperature or pressure or flow rates, all of these things are used to control a normal process, but you can also use them to understand condition, even before you go and spend lots of money on vibration sensors and more. And our approach is to advocate, let's use what you've got already, that's coming out of the machine already, and that'll give you a basic enough understanding, particularly when it's augmented with the AI. That might well be enough. And with our customers who've achieved an ROI in less than 3 months, they've never had to install any extra sensors, including this large automotive company that I talked about. They've never had to install any extra sensors to benefit from predictive maintenance. They've been able to work with the data that they already have. And then there's some instances where they've said, okay, well, actually we want maybe a little more time horizon. Maybe we don't want weeks, maybe we want months, or maybe we want to be more detailed about this particular component. And then you can justify spending the money on additional sensing. So that's half the story, the machine data. And we really advocate use process data as much as possible because it's free and it will get you to where you want without you spending lots of money on IoT and then having to, or being under even more pressure to demonstrate the value of that. The other side and the secret source that we think so many people completely miss out on is the human data. What did you do? Why? How? Who did it? How much time did they spend doing it? Did it actually save you anything or not? These are all pieces of information that can be garnered from a computerized maintenance management system or an enterprise resource management system. And when you combine that with this other interesting machine data, suddenly you start to build a picture, a much better picture of, well, this is a fingerprint of something developing. This is what somebody in the past did about it and why and how. And using the powers of AI to analyze all of that and combine it, you can start to get some really, really powerful messaging based on data that you essentially already have that's almost free.
And with this cliffhanger type of comment from Alex, we are finishing part one of today's episode, but make sure to tune back in shortly for part two. There, Alex will be talking about some of the challenges of integrating artificial intelligence with existing maintenance infrastructure, and he's also going to cover some additional use cases that this technology can tackle. So tune in for part two soon.